Good morning to you all, and I'd like to thank you on behalf of Grupo Nutresa for connecting to the fourth quarter 2014 results of the company conference call. My name is Alejandro Jimenez, IRO of Grupo Nutresa. Also, we have Jose Domingo Penago, CFO, Carlos Ignacio Gallego, CEO, as well. After this presentation, given by the CEO and CFO of the results of the fourth quarter 2014 results, we'll start a Q&A session. The questions made right through webcast will be read out loud. This will last 90 minutes at the most, if not shorter. So this begins. Mr. Carlos Ignacio, good morning. Thank you for being with us to our meeting of our fourth quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa. To begin, I'd like to refer to two highlights of the company in the last quarter of 2014. First, during this period, we made the acquisition of Grupo El Corral, which is a casual dining chain, the largest of Colombia. And this final price was 743,401 million pesos. Financing was made through bank loans, 685,000 million, and cash, 58,401. In slide two, you can see the last or latest version of the presentation, and we can look at the main pro forma figures of 2014. Combined sales in 2014 were 407,600 million, an EBITDA of 73,500 million, a margin a bit above 18%. The stores of this group in Colombia were 345 and 17 abroad, and the number of employees is 4,500. A highlight with this acquisition, and really Grupo El Corral represents 3% of the sales, 93% of the sales own brands, and 7% of the sales are global brands with great potential of growth. This acquisition was subject to the approval of the Superintendent of Trade, which was given this year, and last week we managed to close the negotiation and receive the chain. The second highlight that I'd like to shed light on last quarter has to do with Grupo Nutresa's corporate sustainability index. We are aware that the Dow Jones Sustainability Index provides us the best results. The two news is that we were ratified with the Sustainability Award Silver Class 2015 Robicom SAM. And also, we were Industry Movers 2015. This is very important because it shows us that Grupo Nutresa, in terms of corporate sustainability, is third worldwide. And in terms of the food sector, it is the winner of six, or the number one in six areas in risks related to water, environmental reports, and environmental reduction. Also, everything has to do with human rights and social inclusion. This is very important, and it's achievement of all the team of Nutresa, and that really shows what the group is all about. So I'd like to invite you to move on to slide number four. On this slide, we'd like to share with you the pro forma of 2014 of Grupo Nutresa, if we include here the acquisition of Grupo El Corral. I'm not going to read everything here, but I'd like to show you the most relevant figures you can see sales by business unit. We're talking about 6,869 million pesos, which represents 13.7%. And international sales were $2.1 billion. This graph shows you that this business unit, the eighth business unit, which has to do with retail food business, represents 529 million pesos, which is 8% of the group's sales in pro forma, with an EBITDA of 10%. So clearly, you can see that we have 90% in sales and the rest in EBITDA. And also, we can see through the ice cream unit in Central America and Dominican Republic. Here you can see the group consolidating now the acquisition. El Corral will be consolidated as of March 2015. So as of the first quarter of 2015, we will be providing you consolidated figures with this business unit that we call retail food business unit. With this introduction, now let's review the accumulated sales in Colombia and internationally, which you can see on slide five. To begin, talking about Colombian sales, accumulated sales reached $4,204 million, up 8.6%, which is 7.1% per volume and the rest in price. So we ended in Colombia with a growth that was outstanding, driven by the dynamics of the categories in which we participate. And it's really the result of our brands, our acquisitions, and our innovations. And we're looking at 17.7% of the sales. It's also important to highlight the importance of the institutional, alternate institutional channels, which are growing. So it's been a year that was very good. International sales. Sales reached $1,115 million, up 3.7%. This includes the consolidation of Venezuela, inorganic growth, which we mentioned in prior conference calls. And but so the organic growth is 0.5%. We must mention as well that the amount of 1,115, up 3.7%, is affected by the currencies of the different countries in the region. If we look at this price in Colombian pesos, international sales would be 11.4%. When we combine the sales, let me look at the businesses. I'm sorry. Let's go back to slide four. If we look at international sales in Colombia, you can see that cold cuts 11.1%, biscuits 8.8%, chocolate 7.9%, coffee -1.2%, especially because of the difference of price in the first quarter, ice cream 11%, and with a very good quarter this year, and pasta grew 3.2%. But internationally, cold cuts dropped 67.1%, and this is mainly because of Venezuela. Biscuits grew 2.7%, chocolates 5%, coffee decreased 9.2%, and we mentioned in prior conference calls that there are particular situations, especially in the States, but we will be reducing this trend. Ice cream grew 2.3%, and Tres Montes Yuketí, it cannot be comparable for both first quarters since this was new. So Tres Montes had a growth healthy above the country's inflation. So now let's look at accumulated sales total on slide six. We're talking about 5,898,000 million pesos, up 9.5%. This is great growth. In cold cuts, it decreased 11.3%, especially because of Venezuela. And this is a very important market. Biscuits, 9.3%. Chocolates, 9.3%. That's good. Coffee dropped 1.7%. Ice cream, 10.7%. Pasta, 3.2%. And Tres Montes Lucchetti, we can see 756,000 million pesos. And this is basically because of the difference of periods. So we can say also the cumulative sales show that the year was very good with growth, especially strong in Colombia and overseas. If it weren't for the devaluations of the currencies of other countries, especially with Venezuela, we would be coherent, but still we have the transparency of the group in which you can see everything on these slides. If we particularly look at the sales of the last quarter of the year, moving on to slide seven, sales in Colombia grew 7.8%, reaching 1,145 million pesos. This was very good, and this was guided primarily because of the cold cuts up 11.2%, biscuits 5.3%, chocolates 8.3%, which was very good as well. Coffee dropped 0.2%. But if you remember, this, there's an improvement that's significant, and coffee is really showing a good positive trend. Ice cream grew 7.7%. We expected more, but the weather made Colombia especially rainy, so it did affect the season. We expected, however, more, and pasta showed 4.7% growth. International sales on slide seven, you can see in the last quarter, we reached $299 million, dropping 22.1%. Here especially, these figures are affected by the devaluations of the currencies of the countries in different in the region, especially in the last 2 months. Secondly, it shows the effect of Venezuela. And before, this was compensated with Tres Montes Lucchetti, but in this period, it couldn't be made because we already consolidated in the third quarter of 2014. And it also shows that the figures of Tres Montes Lucchetti of 18.3% cannot be exactly comparable, because in 2013 we had special sales, non-recurrent, especially of instant cold beverages, which had sugar and which were sold in Mexico. And that excessive sale obviously was not shown in the last quarter of 2014. So the topic is mainly, I mean, Tres Montes in Chile, Lucchetti in Chile was affected by the inflation in Chile and cannot be compared in Mexico with what happened in the oversales. So when you consolidate these two figures of Colombia and international sales, you reach a quarter of 1,815,600 million pesos, up 1%. If we move on to slide eight, here you can see in the quarter, cold cuts dropped 12.9%, biscuits and chocolates. Biscuits grew 10.4%, other chocolates 11.6%, coffee 9.5%, ice cream 9.9%, pasta 4.7%, and Tres Montes Lucchetti showed a decrease of 4.1%. I'd like to highlight that the international sales of the fourth quarter, if you go back to slide seven, grew with the last three quarters to reverse what we had done before. And you can much better see that in the last quarter what happened with tres montes lo que. If you look at cold cuts, without Venezuela, it would grow 8.1% and the rest around 9%. So that's the quarter with these particular conditions. Moving on to the next slide, we can see sales by region, slide 9. Throughout all the regions where we operate, you can see the sales, Chile and Tres Montes, Lo Que consolidate as stronger with 7.9% of the sales. If we gather Central America and the Caribbean, they represent 8.8% of the sales. In the U.S., 7% of the sales, total sales, with a renewed dynamics, they're doing well and great potential in this country. We have local production there, and we have other productive platforms. In terms of Mexico with 3.7% of the sales of the group, indeed, we foresee that we'll have more presence. Ecuador, which is 1.1% of the sales, has safeguards which have an impact. We see there a good impact, a good potential as well. Venezuela, despite its almost 60% inflation, we see that the sales of the group is 2.5% of Venezuela. And based on the recently CUDAVI exchange rate system of Venezuela, still we have this percentage. So clearly, we can say that Venezuela for the Grupo Nutresa is not as significant, but more, it's seen as a great opportunity. Moving on, please, to slide 10. We can talk about the market share of the group in Colombia plus Tres Montes Lo Que. Our market share in Colombia has been increasing compared to the figure of last year. It's 60.6%, up 0.6% compared to last year. And it's above that which we reported in the third quarter of 2014. Satisfactorily, we can report that we have growth in our main categories. In cold cuts, 73.3% of the market share, up 0.6%. In biscuits, we have 55.1% of the market share, up 0.9%. In chocolates, we have different categories, which in chocolates confectionery, 60.6%. Hot chocolate, 63.2%, up 0.7%. Milk modifiers, 25.4%. And nuts, which we mentioned, which was of high growth, we have already 49.3%, up 1.9%. This is a very dynamic category. In coffee, roast and ground, we dropped 0.2%, but we're doing very well in our Arabica and insoluble coffee. We have 41.6% of the market share, up 0.3%. Ice cream, we didn't have a measurement reliable enough. In pasta, we have 52.3% of the market share, up 1.6%. In Tres Montes Lo Que, generally, in instant cold beverages, we have 63.2% of the market share, minus 0.2%. In pasta, 28.8%, we decreased 1%. In coffee, we have 16.6% market share, down 0.2%. Potato chips, we have 13.5%, up 3.8%. This has to do with the entire category of potato chips. As to Mexico and the instant cold beverages, we have 30.8% of the market share, up 0.7%. There I could say that generally the ongoing innovation of the different categories and the strengths and the distributions that we have strengthened our participation, our share, and kept our leadership. When it comes to costs, moving on to slide 11, we can see that the commodities indexed grew from 95 to 112. This was mainly due to cocoa, coffee, and pork. And obviously this has an impact that we could handle with different hedges, inventories, to improve our productivity as well. During the last quarter especially, we saw a reverse of this trend of the commodities, and we can see the variation of prices in dollars. And you can see that there was a moderate decrease and some stability was displayed. For 2015, we expect a higher trend, depending on the currencies that we operate with. And there could be a repercussion, but we are sure that we will have profitability levels that are healthy and that will help us reach our 2020 main goal. When it comes to the raw material diversification, as you can see in slide 12, the group is quite diversified with its raw material use. Here you can see that coffee is second after packaging materials. Packaging materials represent 12%, coffee 9.2%. With the acquisition of El Corral, the shift that we'll see in this raw material diversification is the increase of pork. Before it was 4.5%, and it will move on because of this acquisition. The main raw materials of this quarter are quite diversified, as you can see in the pie. And we can be including others with the acquisition of El Corral. But for now, these are our main raw materials. So in general, this is the vision of the commercial side and how we see the costs of the raw materials. And I'd like to invite Jose Domingo Penagos, our CFO, to discuss with you our profitabilities. And at the end of the presentation, we'll look at the perspectives of the group. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. Good morning to everyone. To talk about profitability, let's move to slide 13, please, where we see the EBITDA by business unit consolidated in the group. We could begin by saying that even considering the high volatility of the setting and the trend, the uptrend of the cost of the main raw materials, we ended the year 2014 in the higher rank with a growth of 3.8% EBITDA, reaching a margin of 13.4%. Of course, this result has to do with positive and negative things. Positive is the impact on the profitability on some of our commodities, the devaluation, which was very much seen in the last quarter of the year, which, of course, affects the margin on a short-term basis. And ahead we'll see that this is also an opportunity in the medium and long-term basis. And also what happens in Venezuela and how this affects the company. This has to do with the negative. But on the positive side, which counteract these negative aspects, we have the increased productivity in the year 2014, which increased 24.3%. Also, higher sales in Colombia, the good commercial dynamic seen in Colombia showed decreased cost, fixed cost, and higher margins in our sales, which reached almost 18% in 2014. There were slight increases in prices in addition, and all of these topics really gave us the equilibrium to have a good capability on a medium time basis in terms of prices. We could look at biscuits, coffee, and ice cream, which are at levels, profitability levels, above the consolidated. Cold cuts is very much in the mean despite the conversion rate in Venezuela, and the chocolates business displays a margin of 12.6% and dropped 10%, still has an impact of the cocoa commodity. Cocoa grew 25% in 2014 and remains on the high side of its price internationally. So I could say that this is a summary of the consolidated mid-round of the year, a margin of 13.4%, which is on the high side, as I said. Looking at the quarter per se, let's move on to slide 14, please. And here you can see that it's on the lower part of the rank, but still we think this is a particular situation. This is not general. And basically it's because of the increased prices of commodities and the increase of the exchange rate at the end of the year, especially in the last quarter. There was a big impact because of these two factors. Let's review also per business unit, the EBITDA, and you can see the significant effects, especially on ice cream. It goes from 9.4% to minus 32.2%. This is basically because of the rainfall. During this season, we estimate that there are no rainfalls, and really this has an equilibrium point that's relatively high, and it's basically because of the impact of the weather, of the rainfall, and this is reflected on the EBITDA. That's why it displays this. And Tres Montes Lucchetti, which although it's very good in its margin in the mean, it shows a decrease of 26%, and this is basically because we reflect the untypical sales that we made in Mexico because of the different content of sugar. So this cannot be very comparable, and that's why we have this decrease. The other business units, for instance, in cold cuts, the margin is good. Remember, this has to do with Venezuela more. In Venezuela, it's 13%, and that's how it becomes comparable. Biscuits is the mean of the range, chocolates. We mentioned the cocoa price, and the margin is quite good. 12.1% is good margin. And lastly, pasta, it grew 8.8%. We'd like to mention, the exchange rate. It's worth highlighting that the exchange rate on pasta has particular effects in this quarter. And we in Grupo Nutresa also see this as an opportunity. Later I can develop this topic, but it's bad to do because we have total productive platforms, for instance, what we have in Mexico and Central America, Peru and Chile, practically in all of the countries where we operate. And we believe that having these platforms with the increased exchange rate and the volatility of the raw material prices will be better off. Let's move on, please, to slide 15, which shows the consolidated income statement at December 2014. Here I'd like to focus on the post-operating. Let's look at the commercial, the EBITDA. We saw performance, but when it comes to significant changes, we can see changes in trends. In net income, we had a growth before that was 7%, and here it's minus 0.7%. And let's look at the difference in net exchange. Last year it was 8,000 million pesos, and now we're talking about 500. And this is very relevant we're talking about a difference of 20,000 million pesos. And this has to do with the exchange rate, which valued our accounts abroad, especially our accounts receivable. And that's why we're talking about special income. Everything had to do with what we did before. Then we have another item, which is other income and expenses. Compared to the 54 that was displayed last year, if you remember, this impact of Venezuela was 53,000 million pesos in 2013. In 2014, this is why we show this expense, close to 20,000 million pesos, which contributes to profit. And lastly, we have portfolio dividends, which show an increase that's significant. And this has to do with our policy related to all of the portfolio dividends display when caused the entire period, not only the months they are calculated, but it includes all the months. And this, we did it for comparability purposes. So if you add all of these accounts, you can see the trend up to the last quarter reflects the same net profit that we displayed in 2013. And despite the increased financial expenses. Now let's review the slide 16, the consolidated income statement of the last quarter of 2014. Here you can see effects on the operating part. Here we have total operating revenues of 1%. That's about 8% of our gross profit. And also has an effect of the currency of Venezuela. By excluding Venezuela, our growth would be 9% and cannot be compared. We also have an effect on the sales, and because of the higher activities in the last quarter, there's a display that's lower to the incomes foreseen. That's why we have a drop of 19% in operating income. And in post-operating results, especially in net, which are 7,446,000 million pesos, we have a difference of exchange, which is a result of the hedges that we have and our position in the balance, in which we have very little assets in dollars. Our debt is very little in dollars compared to the total that we have in the group. Lastly, we see the dividends of the portfolio, which you can see in this last quarter of the year. That's why our net income is 117,000 million pesos, which is 17.3%. Again, we can see the operating and non-operating differences during this quarter. And lastly, let's look at the consolidated net debt on slide 17. At December 2014, we ended with a net debt of 2.02 and the EBITDA interest twice. Early on in the year, we made the acquisition of El Corral, and the new debt of the group was higher. We had an average rate of 6.4%, a mean duration of 3.3 years, and the new indicator is 2.7 times. We deem that we will begin this year very focused on incorporating this Ecorral to the group. We're working hard on the M&A, but we're really focusing on the consolidation of this acquisition, and we have a firepower of for acquisition is $500 million. We also wanted to tell you that in 2014, our CapEx ends in 3,308,000 million pesos, and the budget for 2015 is 368,000 million pesos. Basically, for expansion of capabilities to update our plants and increase logistics. We're investing in logistics in a very important project of the group for since last year. So for CapEx in 2015 is 338,000 million pesos. And with this, ladies and gentlemen, we end this section of the conference call. Now let's move on to the perspectives. So now looking at the commercial and financial information of the group, I'd like to make some comments on the future and the perspective and outlook of the company. I'd like to firstly mention that despite the turbulence in Latin America, we still display great commercial dynamics in Colombia. We have strong distribution networks. Marketing is well done. Innovation remains throughout all of our products and categories. We're doing very well commercially in Colombia, and that's where we have most of our strategies. Overall, the exchange rate really has given us an opportunity, especially in the countries where we operate as locals, where we have exchange rates. And, of course, there are some that are affecting us negatively, but I believe that with great competitiveness, we can gain points over those that have to import their products. We believe that we're strong. They're very much stronger in the U.S., in Peru. We can find better expansions there. We have good productive platforms in the States, especially with crackers, in Chile as well, with crackers, and in Guadalajara with pasta, which will begin operations this year. So we believe that by March we will be having the consolidation of El Corral 100%. And this also gives us opportunities to increase our indicators in addition specifically to the balance and the effect of the exchange rates and the costs and the profitability levels. I'd like to say that in the future, although we see that there's an uptrend, really the highest competitiveness provides us the chance to increase prices without affecting our position in the market. We gain our market share, but really we're focusing strategically on product price without affecting the company, especially because of the cost of raw materials and commodities. In addition, in the future, we can say that we will remain in our good profitability levels. We have set out to meet our 2020 general goal, and we'll have an EBITDA that will be in the range that we have set forth as well. So now we can start our Q&A session. Perfect. Let's receive your questions through webcast and by phone. We'd like to thank you all. To please introduce yourselves, give us your name, the company that you work with, and then provide your question. And please make it short so that the most number of people can participate. Thank you. We'd like to remind you that if you're on the phone, that if you'd like to make a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. Again, if you'd like to participate and ask a question, please press star followed by one. Thank you. I have a question made through the webcast. It's made by Nina Masarovi from Hawaii. Let me read it out loud for you in English. Good morning. Could you please explain any potential the impact of commodity prices? How do you see your costs evolving in the next 6 months? Thank you. Okay, thank you, Nina, for your question. And this has to do with the comments that I made at the end of this presentation. First, I mentioned that we have the raw materials of Grupo Nutresa will be changing because we'll have more pork. In addition, due to the variations given with packaging materials, we'll have a decrease of its share in our raw material diversification, which is today at 12%. But I must clarify that all of the reductions will be made, will be seen on the income statement, depending on the exchange rates. Generally, what we foresee is that there will be an uptrend, a slight uptrend. There will be a shortage. We'll have increased productivity and very strategically with pricing, we can focus on different segments, geographies, and categories in which we will not lose our competitiveness. And as I mentioned before, always, always remaining within the range with the EBITDA range that we have set forth. Without any other question by phone, let me read another question received through the webcast. The question is made by Rafael from Cepinco, and let me read. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. I have two questions. First is focused on the performance of the SFAB for the first quarter in addition to the expense of the mercantile credits. What else drove this IAS? And could you please talk about the expenses in services administratively? Also, I'd like to hear your comment on the performance of the raw materials that you purchase in Colombia, especially with what's happening with the weather in Colombia, inventories, and the macroeconomic variables displayed in Colombia, would show us the effects on the prices and what small suppliers are willing to sell. Rafael, let me begin with your first question. With regards to the general expenses in the last quarter, definitely the impact has to do with the mercantile credit of Tres Montes Lucchetti. However, in the expenses, as we mentioned in the conference, we have an increase because of this mercantile loan, especially in Christmas. I would say basically that these are the most significant expenses that we have. Because reviewing the figures here in personnel, the growth of the entire year was very moderate in services also. But basically, it's due to the mercantile credit of Tres Montes Lucchetti, the marketing activities of the past year. And we can add a statistic of the entire year, and it's the organic growth of the administrative expense was 3%. The organic growth of sales expenses was 3.9%. So really those expenses although they were particularly significant last quarter, they really are not as relevant. Perhaps I'd like to complement this answer, which has to do with the cost of the raw material cost of small suppliers. I'd say that Grupo Nutresa has different raw materials. One has to do with the types that are tied to international prices and exchange rates, and this includes cocoa, wheat, but there are other raw materials that are absolutely local and that are not affected by these two factors. There are others which are not raw materials, but have to do with labor, for instance, which are local. So when we talk about the competitiveness gained with the devaluation, we're talking about especially the items that are overseas. It has to do with the international price market. And if we look at the local producers, and we're only talking about very partial increases. So clearly, as we mentioned before, there's a slight trend, uptrend, but it's lower compared to the products imported by our competitors. The EBITDA and the volatility of the exchange rate affects everybody involved in Colombia. So here, we're not talking about what affects only Grupo Nutresa, but what affects everyone in Colombia. Now let's listen to any questions made by phone. Thank you. The next question is from Mr. Sergio Martinez. Please indicate your company before you begin. Good morning. I'm from Citigroup. I work with Alex Gruber. I would like to know about the sales growth that you see for 2015. I know that there is an uptrend in Colombia, but do you think that you can reach the growth levels similar to those that you displayed in 2014, or could there be some risks for this year? That's my first question. Well, thank you, Sergio, for your question. You know well that traditionally we do not provide this precise figure, but what I can say is that we have similar dynamics in both years. With the development of different channels, we still have them underway, and our estimates are very good for this year. In addition, with the acquisition of El Corral and the three new platforms that we have for productive, our three new productive platforms, we have an increased commercial dynamics for this year as well. Okay, perfect. And my other question, when it comes to the equilibrium point of ice cream, how should we see this growth? Sales growth. What's your outlook to have an equilibrium with your ice cream business? Look, because of prudence, we cannot tell you what is our point of equilibrium, but however, we can talk about the effect of the weather on the results of ice cream. The model really has to do with our freezers that we have throughout the country. So with bad weather, this obviously has a negative effect on our sales and the lower capability. So we have to reserve the figure, but this gives you an idea. Look at the EBITDA this year, for instance. That can give you an idea. We have foreseen the dry and rainy season of the country. However, this last quarter of the year was very rainy. Yes? Yes, thank you. Third question. In your biscuits business, the margin also has dropped, the EBITDA margin year after year. Is this because of the raw material prices, sales? What's happened with biscuits? Please give us some ideas. Yes, it's because of the sales expense of the Christmas season. Look, it shows in the quarter a decrease of 11.5%, but that expense, but it remains with a margin that's high. It's basically because of the expenses and marketing expenses made at the end of the year. Also remember that we launched new lines in the biscuits category, and that also makes a difference for that decrease. Okay, thank you. Okay, Sergio, thank you very much for your questions. Now let's read another question made through the webcast. Let me read it. Jonathan Ignar from Franksman asks, you did not mention the objective of a return investment of 15% of one of your long-term cost. Are you still confident of achieving this? Jonathan, thank you for your question. And, of course, we're thinking that we will meet that goal with the following estimates. For instance, with the acquisition of Ecoral. In the first slides of the presentation, you can see that the margin is higher than what we've mentioned, that what we've displayed before. This type of acquisition with retail consumer items plus what we have with our ice cream parlors, which is quite higher, will help us to weight that return of investment. At the end of 2014, we can see it's 12% margin with acquisitions like Desmontes Locati, which is in the medium, the mean of the range, and El Corral, which is higher than the range and which has working capital. That's interesting because it really depends of the financing and all of the productivity margins plus the competitiveness that we've had in Colombia and other markets, our prudent management of our work capital. We're sure that we can reach our 15% goal for 2020. Do we have any other questions by phone? Thank you. Next question is from Germán Zúñiga. Please tell us what company you come from. Good morning. I call from Bancolombia. I have a couple of questions. First, thank you very much for your conference call. My first question, in the black market of Venezuela, you can have an exchange rate above what's the traditional exchange rate. Is this also kept in mind to show the reality of what's happening in Venezuela? We have 49 bolivars per dollar. So are you making any adjustments, keeping that in mind, that reality? And second question, which are the impacts on the tax reform on the group? Are you going to show this impact on your income statement? How are you going to handle this tax reform of Colombia? Thank you, Germán. Allow me to answer your first question related to Venezuela. And then José Domingo could talk about the second question. Last year, when we took the decision of consolidating Venezuela coherent with the transparency that we've always used to disclose Grupo Dutresa's results, keeping in mind the uncertainty of the financial results, we decided to take the step to show you always a consolidation of 49 0.99. We mentioned also before this because the exchange of, or the tax laws in Venezuela didn't allow us to do this, but now there is a new currency management law in Venezuela, which shows that there are three types of exchange rates. One is, two are the ones that we know of, and there's one that that floats. And our decision last year would be to show how Venezuela is not as significant in the group, and therefore we show Venezuela's results. If it survived the SICAP 2, it could reach an 8. And with that value, it would be 1.2% of the company's revenues. But if it reached 170, it could be 1, when the EBITDA would be at 1.6 and at 1.8, and equity would be 1.5 to 1.8. This really has to do with the equity. So to respond to your question, yes, we didn't mention this, and we didn't detail it, because last year we decided to always show Venezuela adjusted to its reality, and obviously, of course, meeting what the law forces us to disclose. So the response is that we do keep in mind the 170, and that it doesn't have a significant impact on the group. And indeed, it, as I said before, it's basically an opportunity for the group, because our sales are known there, our group products are appreciated in Venezuela. And it's a small geography, yes, but we still have a in the future, the role of Venezuela in the group. When it comes to the tax reform, we talked about the wealth tax, which is something that we will discuss in our assembly of shareholders. This is something very recent. And when it comes to our income statement, it represents 10% of our net profit because of this increase. Let me read the next question that we received through the webcast. This is made by Andres Felipe Rosa from Global Securities. Good morning, my name is Andres from Global Security. I'd like to know if you see any effects on the margins of the group. To respond to your answer, of course we do foresee that there's a positive effect because of the margin of the acquisition, and the EBITDA has to do with cost and sales. In 2014, we believe that the acquisition will be contributing to our company positively to have better operating margins. If you remember the first slides, we said that this has to do with retail food business, and it has 13.4% EBITDA, and it will move to 35%. So from 13.4 to 13.7, you can see that this is an impact, a positive impact of the acquisition of El Corral. Do we have any other questions by phone? Thank you. From Andres Foto. Andres Foto from Santander Bank. I have a question on the margins of 2015. Carlos Ignacio, as you said before, you want to remain in the 12 to 14% range, but in turn you see space to increase prices because of the effect of the devaluation and the commodity price. So you can say that the combination of these effects plus El Corral, what you could be looking at is margins that remain flat in 2015 compared to 2015. Is this so? Andres, Thank you for your question. Clearly, you know that 2014 was turbulent. There was a rise in the commodity prices, the exchange rate, the devaluation, especially in Colombia, and where the combination of what we have to manage, which were adverse, plus these factors in the middle of this turbulence, we remained on trying to reach the 2014 range. Of course, we have tools that will help us have favorable results, but we have to work responsibly, and we have to try to reach that 20 to 14%, which is totally aligned with the mega or the main goal that we have for 2020. Okay, thank you, Carlos Ignacio. And when can you tell us more, give us more details of the effects on your statements using now the IFRS method? When it comes to the financial statements under IFRS, in January, we have been meeting our timetable for the first quarter of this year. All of our balance sheets or financial statements will be using the IFRS method. For the first quarter of 2015, everything will be under IFRS. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Andres. Let me read the next question received through the webcast. Catalina Ricaute from Porvenir. Good morning. Could you please tell us more about this fall of the Abeba in with regards to this item? Why did you make this amortization? Let me begin by the second half of your question. The amortization amount is 46,000 million pesos, and this amount is basically an accounting amortization, and it's not reflected, and it's a difference between an acquisition, the value in the market, and the accounting or historical value reflected in the income statement. So specifically, this is an important effect, and it's 46,000 million pesos that are in the expenses of 2014, but will not appear in 2015 expenses. Perfect. Do we have any more questions by phone? Yes, from Mr. Felipe Hutos. Good morning. Thank you for this conference. I have two questions. One, the gross margin, you talked about it already. We expected that this margin would improve since most of the commodities have reduced their prices, but you can see that has more to do with effects. Is that why? And second question, do you have any guidance for the EBITDA sales of El Corral in 2015? Thank you. Felipe, with regards to the margins, it has to do with the exchange rate effect. And also it has effect with the price of some commodities, but it's more related to the exchange rate. Look, most of our hedges are in the financial markets or in commodities like wheat, corn, soy, and cocoa. It's very much indexed, and that's internationally, and that's related to the dollar. So cocoa, for instance, had an impact on the cost. That with regards to the gross margin. And with regards to the expectation of El Corral for 2015, we have our guidance already. We cannot disclose figures exactly, but remember, our acquisitions are of good companies, sound companies, and we do expect to make the consolidation as soon as possible to add it to the mega that we have set forth. Felipe. Thank you very much for your questions. Now we can listen to a question made by through the webcast. Laura Salamanca, Corredores de Vivienda. What type of acquisitions do you expect to make from here on, especially for final consumer? What is the amount that you have for this segment? And what kind of categories would you be looking for? Let me begin by addressing this question or generally. The strategy of acquisitions of Grupo Nutresa is basically to look at companies that have great performance, but also in geographies where there are proper market conditions, with good sizes, with good growth perspectives, with good capabilities, in which we can make agreements with strategic allies. I mentioned Chile, Peru, Mexico are very important countries for us, the U.S. As well. Usually, we do not only look at just one business. We see that retail foods is something interesting, but not the only one. So we are right now focused on this consolidation with Ecorral, but we'll look at other options, but not only in retail foods. It's also important to keep in mind that Ecorral is more casual dining. Ecorral, and I'd like to clarify, it does not look like fast food because it's more it's higher quality. It has more experience, and this category is showing a lot of growth in the world, and surely you've seen very successful cases worldwide, especially in North America. So our idea with regards to consumer foods is to grow organically and also inorganically. I'd also like to add that when it comes to health and well-being, for Grupo Nutresa are great opportunities. We're now in a very important campaign that has to do with living a healthy life. And everywhere we're saying that to have a healthy life, you have to be with your family, do exercises, and eat balanced meals. And all of our businesses are being applied under innovation, through experience, by improving products. So there's something very interesting there in that health and well-being segment for us. So when it comes to consumer retails, we want to provide products and experiences that are outstanding to our consumers, are very top quality, very different to what the competitors provide, with a good cost-value ratio and making good use of our capabilities before what we have at Grupo Nutresa right now and what we have with the acquisition of Ecorral, which is a big and important player in Colombia. Are there any more questions by phone? Because we have a question here by webcast. Juan Manuel Fernandez, I'd like to understand how you're going to be handling the exchange rate now that you don't have the SICA 2 in Venezuela. And when will you make this movement? We think that this question has already been answered. So are there any questions by phone? Thank you. The question is from Mr. Juan Serrano. Good morning. I'm from Porvenir. Question has to do with Tres Montes Lucchetti. Could you please explain, in the fourth quarter of 2013, what part of the EBITDA was not special to make the adjustment? of our calculations? And my second question, we made estimates of the revenues of Nutresa in different countries, and we found that it's lower in the States and in Central America. Do you see this? Do you have the same results that we have? Thank you. Juan Camilo. With regards to the revenues of Tres Montes Lucchetti specifically, without giving me figures, what happened is that in the year 2013, there was a tax reform in Chile, and practically we evacuated the inventory we had of sugar. The difference that we have between the revenues of 2014 versus 2013 was that inventory and sugar. That with regard to your first question. And with regards to the U.S., all I can say is that when we talk about the coffee business, comparing different sales, international sales, we saw that sales dropped, but the rest of the businesses of the group in the U.S., remember, we have a plant that we're opening there in the first quarter. We already have orders. So our operations in the States is very healthy. And in Central America, it's the same thing. The thing is that there's been an exchange rate that has hurt us. If we look at everything in dollars, sales have been good. And so overall, the performance in the market in Central America has been good. We are leaders in different categories, and we have plans to continue growing because Central America is a region which is interesting for us, especially in the States, for instance. Sales have consistent sales levels. They are uptrends, and they're growing in total revenues. It's quite sustained. Perfect, thank you. So now let's read a question from the webcast. Allow me to read it. David Wilkin from Asesores en Valores. Good morning. Thank you for your conference. I'd like to know, what type of hedge do you have, and how do they affect your revenues in 2015? Thank you for your question. We have two types of hedges. One made in the international markets like wheat, soy, corn, oils and fats, etc., and hedges of physicals, which is very important for Nutresa, especially to raw materials, coffee especially. Through those two structures, we have our all entire hedges structure for Grupo Nutresa. And right now, generally, we can say that in commodity, the commodities have good performances. Like wheat, we're covered over the minimal historicals, and we have protections. With regards to coffee, specifically, we have good months of inventories of up to June of this year, which will help us for this business unit. So we have a combination of hedges, financial and those for physicals, depending on the commodity. And it depends if they're domestic or international crops. Now let's hear a question made by phone. Yes, the question is from Mr. Jose Restrepo. Good morning. My name is Jose Restrepo from Cerfinco One. Please tell us about the capital invested. Can we expect that the acquisition of Ecorral will create an EBITDA close to 125,000 million pesos. And second, it has to do with your revenue per dividend. This adjustment was made only for the last quarter of last year, or will it remain in time? And which are the companies that originate this dividend? Of course, with regards to the return over capital, we can say that the acquisitions give way to challenges. When you make an acquisition, you have to keep in mind historical value and the market value. So you have to decrease that that investment in time, in the short time purpose. But if you work with capital, working capital efficiently, you can have good responses on a medium term. So to answer your question, we have a good return on investment by 2020. And with regards to dividends, basically the two large investments are those of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos. Okay, thank you. Jorge, thank you very much for your questions. Now, do we have any questions through the webcast? We do. Made by Erika Izquierdo from Valores Asociados. Good morning. I have three questions. One, currently does the company have goodwill of $1.5 billion? In the transition to IFRS, will this be affecting you? Are you concerned about this, especially when it comes to reasonable value? What's its representation or significance? Second, when it comes to the EBITDA of 2.7 times, this is the highest seen in many years. How can you leverage this? What's the development of this metric? Is this solely for cash flow, or can it also affect your capital? And third, can we expect additional acquisitions in 2015? Let's begin with your first question with regards to intangibles and the impact that it can have on the group. Particularly, that can be accounted before moving to the IFRS by 1.5% of the equity of Grupo Nutresa. With this adoption of this Amadi, we're talking about something very, very small compared to the total of Grupo Nutresa, and particularly we do not foresee this affecting us. As to your second question, with the EBITDA of 2.7, which is much higher to what we've displayed in prior years, it is manageable. I can tell you that before reaching this level, we reviewed it with our raters, and it's very feasible, and it can be even at higher levels without affecting our current condition. And we believe that by generating cash flow on a short-term basis, we can reach levels that are lower. I'd say, as I've said in other meetings, Grupo Nutresa's financial condition is very healthy, and it has many ways of financing itself. It really depends on the opportunities that give way and the general market conditions. And we have everything available to us, so we here don't talk about figures. But what I can tell you is that our cash flow is at very manageable conditions in a company like ours. When it comes to the third question, acquisitions for consumer retail products, remember we recently made the Equidal acquisition, so we're right now in the consolidation phase of this. But to answer your question, in every business unit of Grupo Nutresa, we are looking at different opportunities that may appear in and out of Colombia. It really depends. And this all will help us to take the best decisions for the company. We have 10 more minutes for this conference. We'd like to invite you all to make your questions. And if we cannot answer them during these 10 remaining minutes, we have an open channel so you can call us or write to us. So are there any questions by phone? Thank you from Catalina Ricarte. Good. No, my answer was already, my question was responded already. Thank you. Thank you, Catalina. Any other question? Yes, from Fabiana Gordo. Good morning. I'd like to confirm the effect of the decreased EBITDA in chocolates. Is it because of the impact of the commodity price or something else happened? And also, could you please tell us more about the impact of the EBITDA of pasta? Sorry, what company are you from? This is your Alvarez. Yes. Indeed, in the chocolates business, this has to do with the commodity price and the exchange rate. And with regards to the pasta business, which has an EBITDA of 10.5%, dropping 2.1%, the performance, the commercial performance of pasta displayed developments throughout the year. It was more complex early in the year because of the size of the market, but in the second half of the year, it reached 10.5%. And even at the end of the year, it had a higher bid, 10.8. So this commercial dynamics shows the business's capability that was good. And the idea is that it got closer to the range. The idea is that this business unit of pasta will be closer to the Grupo Nutresa range. Fabian? It's our pleasure, Fabian. Are there any questions made by phone? Yes, the following question comes from Carlos Rodriguez. Good morning, Carlos Rodriguez. I have two questions. The financial expenses in 2014 increased 16%, especially after Tresmontes Lucchetti. Could you please tell us about this new credit of El Corral? Yes, of course, Carlos. And let me tell you more about the profile of Grupo Nutresa with regard to this topic. We obtained this credit by acquiring El Corral at a rate of 5.1%, which leaves the entire rate of the group at 3.8%. Again, this has to do with our cash flows. It's adapted to our cash flows. It's at a three-year term. Grupo Nutresa is at, everything is at 84%, 10% in Colombian pesos, 10% in Chilean pesos, and the rest in dollars. So that's the financing of the acquisition of El Corral. Last question. With regards to the exchange rate, if you could make an assessment of the positive negative effects, how do you see the recent devaluations of the Colombian, Chilean, and Mexican peso? Because you've said that it's a good opportunity. Could you please tell us when there's a devaluation, is it good or bad for the company, for Grupo Nutresa, really? Let me answer for you, Carlos. It's not easy to pinpoint or give a specific answer because it's hard to know how much you will gain or lose in the market because of the products that are imported. Yet, you have some limits that you work with, especially through the global supplies, innovation. But there are opportunities in which you really have a stronger position, especially with regards to price, and surely you'll gain market share. What we do in Grupo Nutresa is that we say that this half of the year we will be gaining market share, but we cannot tell you exactly the figure that we have set forth. However, I'd like to tell you that we have good tools, that we're using them. Financing was made smartly to avoid where there are stronger competitors, and we always keep a long-term vision, even in categories. The idea is to strengthen our market share, and we're willing to keep a price policy that's much more conservative to gain our part of the pie. But really, it's a positive vision that we have because we have good tools at hand. Okay, thank you so much, sir. Do we have any other questions by phone? We have one last question from Alejandra Arango. Good morning. From Inazabu, I'd like to understand this better. This is related to your costs. How do you import packages in Venezuela? What are the channels that you use? Alejandra, thank you for your question. If you wish, we can give you details for this question on a separate line because of time restraints. Right now, we have no further questions by phone. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference of the fourth quarter 2014 results of Grupo Nutresa. Thank you for your participation. Now you may disconnect. However, if you have any more questions, remember we have an open channel for all of you to communicate. Have a good day. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.